Welcome to A Reason for Hope, your question connection with the entire Word of God. To join in the conversation, get your questions ready and get on the phone. Lines are open now at 877-556-1212. Now, here's your host, pastor, author, and Bible teacher, Scott Richards.
Well, a very good afternoon to you, wherever you may be. Thanks so much for joining us on this edition of A Reason for Hope. We are live and in studio to take your questions on the most important issues any human being will ever consider. If you've got biblical questions on your heart or on your mind today, we are looking forward to hearing from you. Wide open phone lines at 1-877-556-1212. Whether you are joining us in Paradise, courtesy of KLHT Radio in Honolulu, Hawaii, here in Greater Tucson, our own version of paradise we have here. A little contrast between Hawaii and where we are here, but a gorgeous late afternoon here at fall in Tucson. Looks like the heat is finally beginning to subside, and we're rejoicing over that. If you're in Greater Tucson listening to us on Reach Radio, 106.7 FM, feel free to use that same number to get your questions to us, 1-877-556-1212, and we will take any question you have about the Bible. Maybe a question about a verse or two in the Bible you'd like to explore, perhaps personal issues going on in your walk with God, where you could use some guidance and direction straight from the Word. Got some great questions, by the way, sent along to us at questionsforhope@gmail.com. That is the place where you can fire us off an email and get your questions to us. You can also get questions to us at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That is our one-stop ministry meeting place for all things media regarding the ministry of A Reason for Hope. You can give us a call, or you can get in touch with us there and allow us to answer your questions and live stream the broadcast, podcast, us, all that other good stuff. And access to all our social media outlets on Facebook and Twitter, all that available for you at calvarychristianfellowship.com. Whether it's a question about a passage in the Bible you'd like to explore, maybe personal issues going on in your walk with God, you could use some guidance and direction straight from His Word. Love to tackle those questions with you and offer you a little prayer support on top of it all. 877-556-1212, the number to call. Get in on the ground floor of the broadcast by giving us a call. If you are in a place where maybe you've been asked a tough question regarding your Christian faith, or you have a tough question regarding the Christian faith, it's always been percolating in the back of your mind, but you've never found a no harm, no foul, non-judgmental place to get your question answered, hey, those questions always welcomed here on the broadcast. Sometimes we are asked, what is an appropriate question? Some people will say, well, I was going to call you. I didn't know if my question was a good one or not. Here's the standard. If you got a sincere question and you're looking for an answer straight from the Scriptures, we would love to tackle it on A Reason for Hope today. So get on our phone lines. We are looking forward to hearing from you as we resume our live broadcasts here. Had a fantastic time of ministry in Southern California. But back here live to take your questions today. Speaking of which, if you'd like to talk about the events of the day or even the events of tomorrow through biblical prophecy, we are all over that as well. Give us a call. Again, 1-877-556-1212. And if you are listening to us in Albuquerque, New Mexico, courtesy of KNKT Radio, just remember we are tape delayed there in Albuquerque. But if you'd like to get us a question, either fire us off a question on email at questionsforhope@gmail.com or go to calvarychristianfellowship.com. And you can get those questions to us, and we'll be happy to answer any question you have on your heart or your mind relating to the Word of God. Just remember, wherever we go on the broadcast, entirely up to you. It's your calls and your questions that determine the content of each and every edition of A Reason for Hope. So let's go on out to the phones. We've got Manny on the line. Let's bring Manny up. Welcome to the broadcast, Manny. Thanks for joining us on A Reason for Hope today.
Hey, Scott, thanks. I enjoy listening to you.
Well, thanks for being a part of the broadcast, Manny. We can't do it without you. What's on your heart today?
Yeah, I just wanted to see if you had some advice on how to witness to Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses when you come across them, because sometimes it can be confusing.
Yeah, it sure can. And Manny, I'll tell you, the most confusing thing that usually people get into in those encounters is failing to realize that, especially with Mormon missionaries or the the door-to-door emissaries of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, the Jehovah's Witnesses, is that they have been trained to deal with you as a Bible-believing evangelical Christian. That's part of their preparation, if you will, before they turn them loose. And so they've got a very well-oiled, time-tested way of putting you in a corner. And they've role-played it. They've probably used it on a number of other people. And so when they come to the door and they begin their presentation, one of the most important things, first and foremost, Manny, that I do is I kind of stop them in their tracks. The first thing that I say is this: before we go any further, I'd like to pray that God would lead us into all truth. Now, that usually freaks them out. It puts them on their heels a bit because they're not used to that sort of thing. And then I do pray. I do pray that that God would speak to us, that His Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. I will usually say in the book of James, you tell us, Lord, if anyone lacks wisdom, we should ask of you, give to all men liberally and without reproach, it shall be given to them. And so I'll take the initiative in praying there. Now, that serves two purposes. First of all, Manny, it's far more useful to plead with God about men than to plead with men about God. And the other thing that we need to understand is there is a spiritual component behind the false teaching of the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, in the book of 1 Timothy, we are told that in the latter days that there would be those who would turn away from the faith and follow doctrines of demons. In other words, there's a demonic element there. There's a spiritual blindness there. And so our weapons are not carnal, but spiritual, for the pulling down of strongholds. And so prayer is an absolute essential. Once I've prayed, I do not let them set the agenda for the conversation. Because if you do, they're just going to go into their well-rehearsed, well-practiced sales pitch, if you will. And you're not going to get very far with them. And so, you know, usually what I will do with Mormons in particular is this, is just to say to them, there's only really one issue I want to speak to you about here. And that is, was Joseph Smith a prophet or not? And when they say, oh yeah, he was a prophet and so on, he had these visions from God, I take them to Deuteronomy chapter 18, where I say, well, look, here's what the test of a true prophet is. And in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 21, a very relevant and relatable question is raised in this passage, Manny. There we read this, if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. So I will get them to agree that this is the test of a true prophet. Well, then I ask them the question, did Joseph Smith pass that test? Well, there's a number of incidents in the life and quote-unquote ministry of Joseph Smith where he failed the test of being a true prophet. One of the ones that I bring up, Manny, is the Canadian copyright controversy, where one of the witnesses of the Gold Tablets was sent to Toronto, Canada, to secure the copyright for the Book of Mormon in Canada. Well, Joseph Smith prophesied that God would be with Oliver Cowdery and that he would have great success on his journey. Well, the people in Toronto, Canada, threw Oliver Cowdery out on his ear. He came back and he was kind of like, what happened? And Joseph Smith said, well, some prophecies are from man, some are from God, and some are from the devil. Well, I guess what you're saying in that point is that you got a 1 out of 3 shot with Joseph Smith. But at that moment, he disqualifies himself from being an actual prophet. There are others that you can point to. Doctrines and Covenants, 88. The famous Civil War passage where we ask, well, has Joseph Smith ever successfully prophesied anything? And they'll say, oh yeah, he predicted the Civil War in 1832. He said it would happen in South Carolina and that the North and the South would fight. I go, well, that's really interesting. But when you read the rest of that prophecy, the rest of the prophecy goes on to say that all nations of the world will get involved in the Civil War, even Great Britain in specific, and that the Indians would end up winning it. And I've asked this of missionaries before. And they usually send out one more experienced missionary, one less experienced missionary. And the more experienced missionary said to me when I brought that up the last time, The Civil War isn't over yet. And the less experienced missionary looked at him and said, we don't believe that, do we? So, you know, it's really important. And I don't deviate from that, because the entire structure of their faith rests upon the claim that Joseph Smith is a prophet of God. That is their testimony. That is their burning in the bosom, if you will, test. That you're to pray and ask the Lord if the Book of Mormon is true, and if Joseph Smith's a prophet, if you have this burning in the bosom, then you can know that it's true. Well, you got to have something more substantial than a burning in the bosom. And that's what I'll share with them. And I'll say, you know, you guys, and I don't try to, you know, get down on them or call them names or shame them or anything like that. I'll just say, you know, it's so awesome that you guys are out doing these things. I can see you have a real zeal for God, but this is not according to knowledge. And, you know, the idea of being in God's family by keeping good works or by following these laws, or that you are going to be a god someday, these are not things the Scripture teaches, and God has better things for you than that. And so hopefully, you know, by kind of shaking them and getting them out of their presentation, Manny, that can go a long way with Mormons. Jehovah's Witnesses, it's the same thing. The only thing that I want to talk to a Jehovah's Witness about is one subject. It is Jesus God. That's the only thing I want to talk to them about. And if they say, well, he was a god, but he wasn't the god, you know, I'll point out to them that the only reason they believe that is because of their faulty New World Translation Bible that they have. They mistranslate John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But I'll say, you know, let's take this a step deeper. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said this in John chapter 5 and beginning at verse, I usually will bring to verse 16, where it says, for this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered and said, my Father has been working until now, and I've been working. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Well, they will respond, Manny, by saying, well, they misunderstood, you see. They got that wrong. And I'll say, well, how interesting, because in verse 19, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but only what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Jesus claims to have the same power as the Father. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Okay, Jesus is the one who raises the dead. He is the one who's in charge of the resurrection. That sounds like God to me. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. In other words, the judge of all the earth isn't just the Father. It's going to be Jesus. He has that equality of power and authority to be the judge of all the earth. Well, they'll say, well, but that's delegated power, and he's not the same as God. This is just something he's going to do. Well, I said, well, that's really interesting, because there's a reason he's going to be the judge, because in verse 23 it says that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. In other words, Jesus goes on to say that he is worthy of the same praise as the Father. Well, Manny, you probably are a knowledgeable enough believer that you know a number of other scriptures you could point to. Hebrews chapter 1, where it talks about Jesus being greater than the angels. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 1, Jehovah, Yahweh, calls Jesus Lord or God in that particular passage. And that's always a good one to show them as well. But, you know, the other thing is this. I don't try to make the conversation super long and involved, because as soon as you do, you know, it's the law of diminishing returns. I just try to hit them with this and then say to them, you know, you need to really look into this sort of thing. And if they become a little bit more combative, one of the other questions I'll ask Jehovah's Witnesses is this. If I can show you from your own documents that your organization claims to act as God's prophet but has falsely prophesied a number of times, would you consider leaving the organization? And that's a really key question to ask.
Oh, wow.
There's a great resource for that, Manny. We're up against a heartbreak. Hang in there. I'll get you that resource right after this timeout.
Do you believe God wants to engage you in a personal relationship? Or is that just wishful thinking? Not according to James McDonald. Listen up.
There is no excess in the Holy Spirit who fills the life of a Christ follower. Now, trying to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit is like trying to start a car with no gas. It doesn't matter how long you crank it, if there's no gas there, it's not starting. And without the Holy Spirit filling us, He does not have all of us, and the engine won't run.
Nothing restores your soul quite like listening to God's still small voice. To discover how to hear Him speak through His Word, check out the helpful resources at jamesmcdonald.com. Listen Up is a production of Walk in the Word.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, if sedimentary rock is made up of sediments deposited by Noah's flood, where did the sediments come from?
Chris, it appears that before the flood, calcareous ooze made of tiny marine animals and secretions accumulated on the ocean bottom. Scooped up by the flood, they became today's limestone deposits. It also appears that the sandstone deposits came from created granitic rock, which eroded to yield the sand that are modern-day sandstones. Also, during the flood, intense volcanism occurred as the fountains of the Great Deep broke open, depositing huge quantities of volcanic ash. This became intermingled with other flood sediments to form a variety of rock types. Chris, I think the flood of Noah's day is a very important concept which we must understand if we ever hope to understand the world around us. Let's develop a Back to Genesis way of thinking.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Genesis.
You're listening to A Reason for Hope, your question connection with the entire Word of God. Be sure to follow Pastor Scott on Twitter at ScottR4H for the latest on pop culture, prophecy updates, and summaries of the questions we answer on the broadcast. Phone lines are open toll-free at 877-556-1212. Now, here's Pastor Scott.
Hey, welcome back to this edition of A Reason for Hope, your question connection with the entire Word of God. If you've got biblical questions on your heart or your mind, dial us up. A couple free phone lines available for you right now at 1-877-556-1212. That's the number that's good for you wherever you might be listening. Maybe you're joining us here in Greater Tucson, courtesy of Reach Radio 106.7 FM. Use that number, and we'll be happy to answer any questions on your heart or your mind. Our KLHT listeners in Honolulu, Hawaii, and the surrounding islands, use that 877-556-1212 number as well. And if you are listening to us, courtesy of Reach Radio, and by the way, we are going to be expanding our presence on Life FM, 90.9 FM out of Miami, Florida. We're really looking forward to that. But if you are one of our Miami friends and are already logging on at CalvaryChristianFellowship.com and like to get us a question, you can use that toll-free number, 877-556-1212. Any question about the Bible? Any question about defending the faith? Hey, we were talking with Manny about that issue. Manny, were you able to hang in there through that timeout?
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, there's a really great resource to share with Jehovah's Witnesses as far as the false prophecies their group has made. There is a really great website as far as resources for dealing not just with JWs, but all kinds of cults and isms that are out there, so to speak. It's called the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry website. And if you go there, there is an article, Jehovah's Witnesses and Their Many False Prophecies, and it has a number of quotes straight from Jehovah's Witnesses publications that have demonstrated their consistent track record of false prophesying. We'll put a link up to this particular article on CARM, as it's known, Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry website, on our Facebook and our Twitter page if you want to access that, Manny. But you can go there directly. It's carm.org, and just do a search for Jehovah's Witnesses. And, you know, you might want to even print this article up and have it handy, because one of the most interesting things about sharing this article with JWs is this. You have to let them see that their faith isn't in God. It's in an organization. And that's why I ask them that question. If I were to show you that your organization has made demonstrable false prophecies and even admits it, would you consider leaving the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society? And 99% of the time, Manny, they will say, well, no. You know, and I'll say, well, then it's very clear that you're not interested in truth. You're interested in your tribe. You're not interested in a relationship with God. You're interested in belonging to this organization. And I think there's a better relationship with God that you can have. And then I'll share my testimony. Well, boy, don't undersell that, Manny. My associate pastor, Bo Willette, has great success in talking to Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and simply sharing his testimony about how he came to know the Lord. Because these people know about religion, Manny, but they don't have a relationship with God. And if you can share how you came to know Christ and that grace-based, unconditional love of Christ that you know in your life, that's something they don't know. And, you know, it's something that God can really use in a powerful way to touch their lives. Does that help you out?
Oh, yeah, it helps me out big time. Can I just ask you one more thing really quick?
Sure.
A lot of times they won't accept anything that you try to give them. Is there any way around that?
Well, you know, if you one of the best ways, I think, to get into their hands the deal about the false prophecies, if you've got it printed up, say to them this. Just say, hey, look, you know, I know at your Kingdom Hall you have access to every publication that the Watchtower has ever put out. Here, I want to give this to you. I want you to go back there, and I want you to make sure that this is really true. These aren't things taken out of context or misrepresented. You go and check that out. And when I say that, usually they'll be like, oh, well, oh, okay, you know, because they're sure they're going to find something there. But you've kind of planted a gospel time bomb there, because if they look it up, they're going to discover that their organization does have a very sketchy track record of saying, thus saith the Lord, and Jesus is coming back this year and this date and so forth, and it hasn't happened. So, you know, the other thing is this, you know, Manny, if you pray, you know, one of the things you can pray for if you're going to be talking to them is that they would be receptive, that God would begin to speak to their hearts. And if the Lord gives them that receptivity, then chances are they might want to take something with you, although it's kind of against their ground rules. So it might require a miracle, but if you challenge them along that line, I think the arrogance that kind of goes with religion is going to cause them to go, well, I'll look at this because I know it's not true, and so on. But you've really made an inroad if that's the case.
All right, well, great. Thanks a lot, Scott.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Manny. Always a pleasure to hear from you. Give us a call back soon. Love sharing with you here on A Reason for Hope. Well, that frees a phone line for you at 1-877-556-1212. Maybe like Manny, you've gotten into a conversation, not just with, say, Jehovah's Witnesses, but maybe some other people that have been a little bit contentious in the faith. Interestingly, at Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, where I'm the senior pastor, this weekend, we are going to be talking about that whole issue, how you can communicate the good news of Jesus Christ in a crisis or a conflict situation. It's a fascinating stretch of scripture out of Proverbs chapter 26. Interestingly, this particular passage is often cited by skeptics or non-believers as proof positive that the Bible contradicts itself. Well, we'll not only discover in this passage we're going to be exploring about the fine art of Christian crisis communication, exactly how to not only survive but thrive in these kind of encounters, but also we'll learn a thing or two about how to answer when someone says the Bible contradicts itself, and how to know what we believe and why we believe it, and to make sure that we've got that foundation of our faith as well. So I think that'll be a great, great encouragement to you. If you're in Greater Tucson, again, you can come on by calvarychristianfellowship.com for directions and service times on Sunday morning. And if you'd like to live stream that broadcast, that's also available for you at calvarychristianfellowship.com. And we'll be happy to tackle any of those questions for you that are on your heart and your mind here on the broadcast today. Just give us a call, 1-877-556-1212, 1-877-556-1212, and we'll be happy to take any question, any call that you have on your heart or on your mind. Well, let's go on back out to the phones. Looks like we've got Manny on the line. Manny, welcome to A Reason for Hope. Manny, are you back? I don't know if we have Manny up or not on the broadcast. We will try to work that out. Second Manny we've had on the broadcast today. 1-877-556-1212 outside of Greater Tucson. Do we have Manny on the line?
Yes.
Manny, are you there? Hey, thanks so much for fighting through the phone lines, and we've got you up and on the air. What's on your heart today?
My question is your feelings or opinions on the movie or the book, The Shack. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. And
yes.
And just how you feel, the obviously the depictions of God and Jesus and so forth are a little distorted, but the overall message, or if you feel it's something we should aim to shy away from.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, Manny, I don't recommend it. Again, for those of you not familiar with it, The Shack was a wildly popular book back around 2010 or so. It was released as a movie starring Sam Worthington and got a little bit of traction in theaters. You know, again, The Shack is an account of a man who spent a weekend with God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit in a shack in the forest. Now, Paul Young says it's a fictional story of a guy named Mackenzie Allen Phillips. Max suffers the horrible loss of his daughter to a serial killer, and of course he's distraught and traumatized. And the whole book and the movie is about healing with an encounter with the person of the Trinity who take human form and dialogue with him in his cabin in the surrounding countryside. You know, and it's a page-turner. I have to give Young credit. He's a good writer, and it kind of keeps things moving along, and he's got a lot of positive things to say. I don't want to minimize that at all, Manny. You know, this is, you know, the picture of God being loving, that he wants a relationship with us, that Jesus died for us, and that he wants to walk us through our pain and get us to the other side. That's all great. But there's some real serious problems with that. According to the account in the book, God the Father appears to him after sending him a note to meet him at this shack where apparently his daughter was killed, and appears to him as a large African-American woman named Papa. Jesus manifests himself as a Middle Easterner who is dressed like a laborer with a tool belt and a plaid shirt with sleeves rolled just above the elbows. And the Holy Spirit is an Asian woman named Sarayu. If you know your Bible, this is troublesome stuff. First of all, the Bible tells us that the Father cannot be seen at any time. The Holy Spirit never manifests himself as a individual, but only when he manifests himself as a dove and fire. Jesus was certainly Middle Eastern as far as it goes. But there's some deeper problems. The Papa shows at one point Max scars on his wrists like the crucifixion wounds of Christ. Again, it wasn't the Father who was crucified. The Father is spirit, we are told in John chapter 4 and verse 24. And those who must worship him in spirit and in truth. It was Jesus incarnated into human flesh through the virgin birth that was capable of experiencing the wounds of crucifixion. Nowhere in the Bible do we see the Father having scars. We see Jesus still having the scars of crucifixion in heaven, but not the Father. You know, again, you know, the other things that really get into trouble are some of the other statements that God submits himself to us. In on page 145, Papa says, "We want you to join us in our circle of relationship. I don't want slaves to my will. I want brothers and sisters who will share life with me." Well, is there anywhere in Scripture where God expresses a desire to submit himself to any individual human being? Well, no, it's just not found in the Scripture. There's other troubling things about this that are even more deal breakers there, Manny. Hang on the line. We'll get to those and your questions right after this.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. On March 24, 2014, armed attackers burst through the doors of a Kenyan church. Many congregants suffered permanent injuries, including Austin and his wife, Diana. It's been 3 years, but Austin is still unable to work, and Diana continues to undergo surgeries and treatment. At first, the couple struggled with anger, but Diana says, "God's word encouraged me." And despite all that's happened, Austin's mother has now come to faith in Christ. Diana asks us to pray that other family members will also be saved and be encouraged by their faithful endurance.
"I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence, nor will I let them serve alone. To join me in prayer for persecuted Christians, go to vomradio.net.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My concern is regarding a situation that occurred in my daughter's school. She's a 9.5-year-old in a public school. Well, Thanksgiving time, they asked the children to write a story on what they're grateful for and what they're thankful for. And she wrote that she was thankful for God to all the blessings she's had in her life. And when she came home during the Christmas holidays, she told me that they made her take the word God out of her story.
You know, she had the right to do that, and she had the right to write that she was thankful for the Lord and that the impact that's had on her life. And there's even a Department of Education guideline specifically on this when they talk about in homework assignments or class assignments that religious material is not off limits. Legally, we can get a letter off to the school board or at least to the teacher and get this clarified. You hang on the line here, we'll get you some help.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Welcome back to A Reason for Hope, your question connection with the entire Word of God. To join in live, give Pastor Scott a call at 877-556-1212. Send Pastor Scott a question at questionsforhope@gmail.com. Now, here's Pastor Scott.
Hey, welcome back to this edition of A Reason for Hope, your question connection with the entire Word of God. If you've got biblical questions on your heart or your mind, jump on our phone lines. They're available for you right now. Get in on the second half hour of the broadcast by giving us a call, 877-556-1212. For any question you have about the Bible, biblical issues, the events of the day from a biblical point of view, a tough question or two that maybe you had in the back of your mind that's giving you a bout of the doubts, maybe a tough question that has been posed to you by a skeptic or a non-believer, and you'd like to be able to answer in a way that not only touches their minds, but their hearts as well. That's what we're all over each and every day here on the broadcast. Just dial us up. Again, 877-556-1212. If you'd like to find out more about the ministry, calvarychristianfellowship.com, our one-stop ministry media meeting place, as we call it. You can get us questions there, podcast us, live stream the broadcast, find out all about Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, where we're coming from as a fellowship. What the broadcast is all about, some great resources there that can also help deepen your walk with God. Hey, going to the break, we're talking with Manny. Manny, were you able to hang in there through that timeout?
Yes, I'm here, Pastor.
Yeah, you know, a couple other things I just leave you with, Manny, that kind of put me over the top as far as not recommending the shack to people. Some really troubling quotes that I think can really lead people away from God rather than to him. You know, in one point, page 182, Jesus and Mac are talking, and he said, "Those who love me come from every system that exists. They were Buddhists or Mormons, Baptists or Muslims, Democrats or Republicans. Many who don't vote or not part of any Sunday morning religious institution. I have followers who are murderers and many who are self-righteous. Some are bankers and bookies, Americans and Iraqis, Jews and Palestinians. I have no desire to make them Christian, but I do want to join them in transformation into sons and daughters of my Papa, into my brothers and sisters, into my beloved." Well, that's a pretty troubling statement, that Jesus would have no desire to make people Christians, because all the word Christian means is a follower of Christ, a little Christ, if you will. So that kind of serious error is real troubling. Like I say, about 90% of it is interesting. Like I say, it's a page-turner book, but 10% is really difficult to take. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6, Manny, we are told that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. So it just takes a little bit of tainted doctrine to really lead people astray. You know, we just got done talking with the other Manny about Mormonisms and Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, Jehovah's Witnesses are highly moral people. They are very self-disciplined in their approach to life. Is that good? Sure. If more people were like that, we'd probably have less problems in the world. But it's not going to get them to heaven. And that's the key issue. There's some nice things about Mormonism, too. Mormonism places great stress on family relationships, which is wonderful. But to say that your family is going to include you being a god someday and having spirit children in heaven to populate your own planet, that's not good. So the shack kind of falls into that same kind of category. Good stuff, but then it becomes quite confusing. On page 247 of the book, the afterword section, this is the last part of it that I really have a problem with. It says this: well, there you have it, at least as it was told to me. I'm sure there will be some who wonder whether everything really happened as Mac recalls it, or if the accident of morphine made him just a little bit loopy. As for Mac, he continues to live his normal, productive life and remains adamant that every word of the story is true. Well, why would you put that down there if it's just a work of fiction? And that's the problem that I have with Young, as I've heard him on interviews, is that he will make these kind of statements, and then he'll kind of dodge back if you call him out on some of these inconsistencies by saying, well, it's just fiction. It's not something you should really take seriously. So, you know, some people look at the shack and they'll say, well, it's a bridge builder. You know, I've got a non-Christian friend. They wouldn't read the Bible or go to church, but they'll read this, and I want to use it as a bridge to talk to them. Well, pray about it. Good on you if you can serve as a bridge and maybe correct some of the things or show that the Bible has a better answer and a more solid view of God than the shack presents. I guess you can use it that way. But I think there's better things you can recommend to people, better deals that don't have the baggage the shack takes with it. Does that help you out, Manny?
Very, very much. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, you got it. Thanks so much for joining us on the broadcast. Always great to hear from you. Give us a call back soon with any question you have about the Word of God. Well, like Manny, maybe you've seen something on TV or the Internet. Boy, I'll tell you, the Internet, there's some wild and woolly things out there on the Internet that definitely could use a little spiritual fact-checking. You'd like to do that on the broadcast, we can certainly do that. 877-556-1212. You want to explore the Bible a little bit more up close and personal than you ever have before, we would love to do that with you as well. Any question about the Bible, anything that you would want to explore in the Word of God, we would love to be able to help deepen your understanding of God's Word. That's why we're here each and every day. Boy, you got a great question sent along to us at questionsforhope@gmail.com. Comes to us from Mark. Mark writes, I've got a couple questions for the show if interested. These things have come up as a result of my current situation. I'm seeking guidance from God's Word. I'm not planning on either of these things. I just thought they were interesting. I'm curious about what your thoughts on what the Bible says. I know that biblical grounds for divorce includes abandonment of a non-believer, but I'm in a situation where I have been abandoned by a believer. Also, what are your thoughts on legal separation and its effect on marriage? Is this something that makes you not married? Finally, divorce and legal separation are procedures based in law. Is spiritual divorce based in law? Matthew 19:7, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and put her away? Or have I already been divorced as a result of her leaving and no longer fulfilling her role as wife? Thank you for your prayers. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you, Mark. Well, Mark, thanks so much for sending these questions along. And first and foremost, our heart just breaks for you as far as being in this set of circumstances. It's just incredibly painful and especially confusing if this sort of thing is happening by people that profess a relationship with Christ. Let's tackle your questions first and foremost. Well, you know, again, when we talk about the idea of abandonment by a non-believer, that is an issue that does come up in the Scriptures. in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The Apostle Paul talks about this possibility. It says, "Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife." Well, the first thing that we see here, Mark, is there apparently was a situation where there were separations going on. And these were individuals that were in the Lord. So the first thing that I would share with you is you're certainly not alone. These are things that were being dealt with in the first century church. You know, the idea of abandonment by a non-believer or by a non-believer is later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, a place where a believer is not bound under such circumstances. They are just to let that person go. It's obviously not optimal. A person should fight tooth and nail for their marriage, even if they are married to a non-believer, for the sake of the children. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 does emphasize that point as well. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, it does appear that there is a situation where a couple is separated. Now, in my ministry experience, and you know, this is just me talking here, it's interesting how the Apostle Paul, when he deals with these things, talks about you know, these for the rest of these, I, not the Lord, say. It isn't a situation where the Apostle Paul wasn't divinely inspired by God. But this was not something that the Lord himself had revealed to him, either through the direct revelation that he had had meeting with Jesus when he was in the Arabian wilderness, or through the records that we find in the Gospels, which the Apostle Paul based his doctrine on as well. But there are situations that we come up against where, you know, we just kind of have to apply some common sense, hopefully informed by biblical counsel. And the whole idea of separation, a few things that I think we can use as GPS headings here. Number one, if you can avoid it, you should. There are some situations I've been in where, say, an individual was involved with unrepentant addiction or a situation where there was violence in the marriage, or a situation where an affair had just been discovered and living under the same roof was just too painful. You know, the individual said that they wanted to have a separation to show that other person just how serious all this was, and that they wanted to take a step back, especially in the case where there was physical violence in the home, where the individual was going to seek concerted counseling and intervention to work on these issues. Before that abused individual put themselves back in harm's way, so to speak. So there are some situations where a separation can be something that's called for. Obviously, the priority is a wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. Here's the key. Mark, in terms of a separation, the question is, why do you want to separate? Is it for some therapeutic purpose? Is it for some spiritual purpose that the Lord can use to rebuild the marriage? And I think this is key, because more often than not in my experience, when a couple will say, well, we're going to separate for a while and work on our issues individually and then come back together, it sounds good in the counseling office, but the follow-through on that is oftentimes lacking. They don't work on their issues. It's kind of pre-divorce, if you will. And people discover that by being separated, man, not having to deal with this person who's driving you crazy and all the painful issues that have come up, it's a lot easier in the short run to be in that situation than it is to continue to work on the marriage. And so in more cases than not, a separation, unless it is done under specific accountability for a specific purpose with a specific time frame, with the goal of coming back together in a specific time, it's not something that usually ends up being a good thing. If it's a situation where an individual has been, say, you know, involved with addiction and has been incredibly unfaithful as far as finances go, sometimes a legal separation is important for the purposes of protecting assets. What about the whole idea of reconciling after all this? We'll get to that and your questions after this.
This is A Fresh Thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
Here's my question. Are you touching Jesus? Are you touching God's word? You take on the character of what you're in contact with. Are you spending time with Christ? Are you spending time in his word? Are you making it a priority in your life to let these things touch you, to let these things get in you? You will become more like Christ as you spend time with Christ. You cannot outlive your friends. So spend time with Jesus just like you would spend time with a friend. You can tell when people hang out with each other, they start talking the same, they got the same jokes, they got the same mannerisms, they're posting the same style of stuff, they're interested in these things. Get yourself interested in what God is interested in by letting his word get in, let his word dwell in you richly. I love that from Colossians. Let God's word dwell in you richly. Someone said you could translate that, let God's word be at home in your heart.
For more fresh thoughts, go to levilusco.com.
Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith.
Jesus was related to us. That's the whole purpose of the incarnation. God becoming a man so he could be related to us, so to speak, to become a blood relative to us.
Hotspot. In this hotspot, Skip Heitzik hits hard on the new economy of grace.
And what is the currency that Jesus paid for us with? It wasn't money, it was blood. We're redeemed by blood. He gave his very life. He gave everything.
Christianity stands or falls on the resurrection.
The resurrection separates every would-be Messiah or religious leader from Jesus, who is a living redeemer.
Connect with Skip.com. You want to go there for Skip's new book, The Bible from 30,000 Feet.
When it comes to Jesus, nothing and no one could keep him in the grave. That's why there's hope. That's why he's a living redeemer. But is he your redeemer?
You're listening to A Reason for Hope, your question connection with the entire Word of God. Be sure to follow Pastor Scott on Twitter at ScottR4H for the latest on pop culture, prophecy updates, and summaries of the questions we answer on the broadcast. Phone lines are open toll-free at 877-556-1212. Now, here's Pastor Scott.
Hey, welcome back to this edition of A Reason for Hope, your question connection with the entire Word of God. If you've got biblical questions on your heart or on your mind, we would love to hear from you. This final segment of the broadcast, 877-556-1212. Questionsforhope@gmail.com. If you'd like to fire us off an email question, or if you'd like to follow us on social media, go to CalvaryChristianFellowship.com. You've got links there to our Facebook connection site as well as our Twitter feed, very lively Twitter feed we have there. You can join on in and get up-to-the-minute updates on the subjects that we're talking about in the broadcast. We also like to pass along encouraging words that can build you up in your walk with God as heavenly heads-ups, matters of biblical prophecy. Always like to point those things out to you on our Twitter feed and our Facebook site. Again, CalvaryChristianFellowship.com. Just go there, and you can be a part of it all. You can also download our CalvaryChristianFellowship.com app and follow along on our Reason for Hope broadcast, CalvaryChristianFellowship.com. Just go to the Google Store, and you can be a part of that as well. You can also download the app at CalvaryChristianFellowship.com. Hey, we were dealing with Mark's question going to the break, and it is a really painful situation that you're dealing with there, Mark. And again, our thoughts and our prayers are with you in it all. The whole idea of divorce and abandonment in the situation that you're talking about. Legal separation sometimes is necessary, but it should be a last resort. It should only be something that is done for a limited agreed-upon time and for a limited agreed-upon purpose. Again, there are situations where a person will, say, have to check themselves into a rehab facility to deal with drug addiction. Well, I think that's an appropriate situation where people are separated. If an individual has been violent within the home, then I think that is also a place where the abused person needs to get out of harm's way. But even in that separation situation, we need to remember Jesus' priority in Matthew chapter 19. What God has joined together, let not man separate. It's got to be our compass heading in the midst of all that, or all a separation is going to be is pre-divorce. Again, if you're in that situation, you ask the question, is this something that makes you not married, being abandoned by someone else? No, it does not, because you not only pledged yourself when got married, Mark, to your spouse, but you also made a commitment to God. And that commitment to God, you want to follow through until such time as that other person really just makes it untenable. You know, the best advice that I can give to people is not to pursue a divorce unless, of course, there is no other alternative. You know, as we often say, getting divorced is not a difficult thing to do legally. All you have to do is fill out the paperwork, swear before a judge your marriage is irretrievably broken, wait a certain amount of days depending on the state that you're in, and you're divorced. But it's a decision that you have to live with for the rest of your life. And one of the real predictors as far as individuals that recover well from being divorced is this, especially as a believer in Christ, can you look at yourself in the mirror and say to yourself honestly that you did everything in a righteous way to reconcile the relationship? I think if you keep those things in mind, you're going to be okay. You know, as far as the idea that divorce is a procedure based on law, is a spiritual divorce based on law? No, it's not. It's based upon the heart that you bring to this situation. That's why in the book of Malachi, God warns them not to deal treacherously with the wife of their youth. This is not only a picture of violence going on within the home, but also people scamming and scheming and trying to get over on other people. That's what's in view there. But the heart is really what matters in this set of circumstance. You have not already been divorced as a result of her leaving, no longer fulfilling her role as a wife. You need to pray for her, obviously. But your job description remains the same. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, we are told, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church when he gave himself for her. You know, Jesus didn't die for us when we were at our best, Mark, but when we were at our worst. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us that God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we are to love our wives with a self-sacrificing love, not only when they're responding and doing their thing spiritually, holding up their end of the deal, but also when they're not. So I hope that gives you some encouragement, some guidelines to work on in trying to make heads or tails out of all this. But we'd like to pray for you as well. Lord, we bring before you Mark and the situation he finds himself in. I do pray that you would speak to his wife who professes a relationship with you but has walked away from the marriage. I would ask, Lord, that whatever it takes, you would bring her back. Lord, I think of what the Apostle Paul said in Philemon about the runaway slave Onesimus, that perhaps you lost him for a while so that you might have him back forever. I pray that that would happen in the situation that Mark is dealing with. Lord, just come to my brother and fill him with your spirit, with your compassion, with your love, with your perseverance, Lord, even in the midst of this heart-rending situation, to find his refuge in you, to allow you to fill the emptiness and the hurt that he feels within his heart, and to keep on keeping on, that he would not grow weary in well-doing, knowing Galatians chapter 6 promises that we will reap a harvest if we don't grow tired and give up. Lord, I do pray that you would, even now, speak to his wife and draw her back to you with loving kindness and compassion. But whatever it takes, Lord, bring her back to you, because that's the ultimate reconciled relationship that's going to make every other relationship going on here work. So just love on them and heal them, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you so much for sending that along, Mark. And again, we will continue to keep you and your spouse in our prayers. Hey, a few minutes left in the broadcast. We want to get in some of our famous lightning round questions that get sent along to us. Interesting question from Dave. How do you balance not storing up treasure here on earth, but also planning for the future in retirement? What is a biblical view of a pension plan? Well, that's a great question, Dave. The fact of the matter is we need to take care of business here on earth. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 26 and verse 12, we're told a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. There is nothing wrong with anticipating challenges that we're going to face in life. And one of the challenges that sooner or later we're going to face in this life is being in a place where we are not going to be able to work in our current job because of age or different factors along that line. So having a pension plan is a good thing, not just for us, but also for the purpose of taking care of our families. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, we are told that if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than a non-believer. So I know there are some people who will say, you know, Jesus said, give no thought for tomorrow, you know, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Yeah, that should be our priority. But that needs to be held in balance with a totality of a view of biblical stewardship. And part of that stewardship is walking in love towards those that are part of our lives now. You know, if we are solid in terms of our planning for our future, Dave, we're going to find ourselves in a place where we're not going to be a burden, say, to our children going forward. We're not going to end up in a situation where their ability to be able to minister to their own children is compromised because we didn't take care of business. So we need to have that balance in our lives. Great question, Dave. Thank you for sending it along on the broadcast. Well, as you can hear, we are up against it as far as this edition of the broadcast goes. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back in 23 hours for more of your question on God's Word. Till then, check out CalvaryChristianFellowship.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And again, dig deep into God's Word. Scott Richards wishing you a great rest of your day in the Lord.
You've been listening to A Reason for Hope. We'll open the phone lines for you every weekday at this time for you to talk to Pastor Scott, but our e-commerce store is always open. Questionsforhope@gmail.com, ScottR4H@twitter.com, and Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson on Facebook will remain open to receive any questions you have off the air. You can also call our customer service line toll-free at 877-556-1212. And be sure to join us next time on A Reason for Hope. A Reason for Hope is an outreach ministry of Calvary Christian Fellowship in Tucson, Arizona.